To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of a mountain of a cloud over a suburban neighborhood comes to us from yours truly as I captured the scene from my van while working in South Troy last Friday. The day was sunny and bright, and I just had happened to look up from my work long enough to see what I thought of as a monolithic evidence of God's glory. I just liked the way this huge, massive cloud seemed to be rising from the horizon as if encouraging us to look up. Upon further review, the peak of this mountain looks a little like a heart, as if the Lord was not only telling us to look up to him, but was using this cloud to tell us of his love. Well, it's Wednesday again, so I thought our heart-topped mountain cloud was as good as any a way to represent the hump of the midpoint of our work week. But as with many things in this life, the hump of hump day always depends on your perspective. The middle of something is always determined by having equal or nearly equal parts of something on either side of our middle point. When does hump day stop being hump day? When something changes the balance. Although today is the traditional day for hump day, for me, this particular Wednesday is more like a Friday because my schedule has me working Saturday, changing the natural balance of quote-unquote normal life, taking my beloved two-day sequential weekend and changing it into a pair of days off, or 2 one-day weekends, with Thursday and Sunday off. Now, I ask you, is this equal? While some may argue, my company perhaps, that 2 days off are 2 days off, and I should be thankful to have them at all, and I am, is it the same or equal to having 2 days off back-to-back? As much as I am grateful for my 2 one-day weekends this week, I think that they are not the same as having 2 days off back-to-back. In my opinion, 2 separate days off are not the same as or equal to having 2 consecutive days off. Personally, I would argue that separate individual days off are not like having a day off, at all, because you really aren't free from work. While I get the joy of knowing I have the day off tomorrow today, I don't get the joy of waking up knowing I have the day off today and tomorrow, like I would if I had 2 consecutive days off. Having that one day where you get to rise and sleep knowing that you are free from the responsibilities of your job is the one day where the anxieties of having to work soon can be laid aside. And that day where you rise and sleep free from the burdens of work can be a place where we can and should be able to find some circumstantial peace. Of course, that day could be filled with chores, obligations, and responsibilities of maintaining your home life, but I digress. If we choose to worry about work, that of the office or that of our home, no amount of days off, separate or consecutive, will be able to provide you with peace. Although we can build a certain amount of stability in our lives through proper planning, preparation, and action, in the reality of our constantly changing world, there is no status quo. There is no normal that we can hold on to that is guaranteed not to change. So there are differing opinions and solutions for life's problems that are offered by the world that would instruct us in how to be happy or how to have peace. In comparing one's lifestyle to another, the conclusion that the world likes to make is that because we all have free will, that is, as long as our lifestyles don't cause immediate harm to others, all lifestyle choices, although different, are equal. Without even considering the things of God, this view is revealed as false, and the natural consequences that befall the different choices we make. For instance, there are different health and wellness consequences for people who exercise versus those who don't, those who smoke versus those who don't, or those who drink and take recreational drugs versus those who don't. The things that people suffer due to their unhealthy choices are not equal to the consequences of those who don't make those unhealthy decisions. What we do with our lives matters in terms of the quality of our life. However, Some would point to the end of life as a great equalizer and would claim their liberty to licentiousness with the assurance that the healthy will die just as the unhealthy will die. And that's when I would question them, what happens next? The answers to that one are subjective and usually a matter of opinion that will either consider the Word of God, the Bible, as an authoritative source of wisdom, or it won't. My point here is that as much as we are all in this together on this island Earth, the natural consequences of our daily decisions and the ultimate destiny for us in eternity should both be taken into consideration with how we live our lives. The world's ways and God's ways are not equal, and we'll have two very different destinations at the end of this life. For eternity, the Bible lays out God's redemptive plan for mankind with the good news that we can be given forgiveness and eternal life through Jesus Christ. But the Bible also provides a fair amount of instruction on how we should live our lives if we want to be in harmony with God and represent His kingdom. Should a Christian follow the world's ways for living here on earth, or should they decide to follow the Lord's way? To claim our salvation through faith in Christ, but to choose to ignore all or some of what the Bible says about how we should live our lives not only reveals our hypocrisy, it could reveal our lack of relationship with the Lord that will be revealed when we see Him face to face. Some will claim to be Christians, but will discover that the choices they made and the condition of their relationship with the Lord was not real. And Matthew 7:23, Jesus says, "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." The world declares that all roads lead to heaven, and some claim a relationship with Christ, but still practice lifestyle choices that are against the wisdom of God's word. And they stay in their sins without repentance. And even worse, they don't seek to know the Lord or practice their faith in any significant way. We don't seek to know the Lord, His word, or His ways. We should wonder about our relationship with Him and wonder if we will be turned away by Christ as someone He never knew, as someone who practices lawlessness. The first messages from John the Baptist and Christ Himself encourage people to repent, to turn from their worldly way of living, and to follow the Lord's way. Christ warned about hell more than He taught about heaven. And He encouraged His disciples to pick up their crosses, to die to their old lives, and to follow Him in the way they lived their lives. Two separate days off are not equal with 2 days off together. The world's ways, my company thinks they're equal apparently, are not equal to God's ways. The peace we have from making Christ our Lord and Savior is not equal to the peace we can manipulate through changing our circumstances on the earth. Even if we could build a life of peace in this world, it evaporates the moment we die without God. So, on this hump day, that isn't a hump day for me, let's all seek the peace that comes through God by not only naming Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but by making the continuous choice to know Him and to follow Him. All things aren't equal, but God's way is the way to peace on earth, regardless of the circumstances, and to life everlasting, where we will find continuous peace in God's presence. So keep walking and talking with God. Make good choices with your life and avoid negative consequences, and make the commitment to reject the world's way for the way, the truth, and the life. Today's Bible verse comes to us from the New Living Translation Bible Promise Book for Men. This morning's meditation verse is John 15:9. "I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love." Today's Bible verse are the words of Jesus Christ, where He assures His disciples of His love for them, confirms His relationship to God the Father, and encourages us to remain in His love. There is a lot there. First off, as His disciple, Christ loves us. That's proven by His death on the cross and the fact that we are given the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit when we put our faith in God through Jesus Christ. As we pursue the path to know God and to live in His ways, we will increasingly know this love. Second, in case you were wondering, yes, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, which makes Him God the Son as well. Here, Jesus talks of God the Father and assures God, he talks of God as Father and assures us that not only is God his Father, but Jesus is loved by him. Jesus is the beloved Son of God. And third, Jesus tells us to remain in his love. Other versions use the word of the Bible. Other versions of the Bible use the word abide to tell us to stay in his love. We remain in Christ's love when we obey his commands and his commandments, and when we follow him in the way we live our lives. We remain in his love when we worship him. We remain in his love by meditating on his word. All of this shows that our walk as a Christian is a love walk, where we are assured of God's love for us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we are to remain in his love through following him. So love the fact that you are loved and endeavor to stay close to him and live in a way where you can experience and remain in Christ's love. As always, I invite all to go to mtforchrist.org, where I always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we continue sharing from Clinton E. Arnold's Powers of Darkness. And today, we conclude Chapter 3 of his book, which focuses on the elementary spirits of this world. You ever wonder what that saying meant in the Bible about the elementary spirits of this world? Well, if you want to know what that means, go to mtforchrist.org and read that excerpt, basically where he mentions it. I believe this topic comes up more than once in Clinton Arnold's book, but the first mention of it is on today's blog. So go to mtforchrist.org, look at the bottom of our post, and you'll find that excerpt from Clinton Arnold's Powers of Darkness. I recommend people to go out and get that book. It's rich in the study of the ancient world and what Paul was facing at the time, and what the spiritual conditions of the world were at that time, and what they're like now. Basically, what's old is new again. You know, these things didn't necessarily go away. We're talking about spiritual realities here, and how they still influence us, these powers of darkness. So, go to MT for Christ to get that, and I do recommend you go out and buy that book as well. We recommend, of course, The Path of Christian Discipleship, and we recommend it, and we encourage you to go buy it by providing the lessons we taught back in 2021 on Christian discipleship and spiritual warfare. Those lessons are all presented on the blog. Well, not on the blog, but on the podcast and the YouTube channel. The classes we taught were Victory Over the Darkness, The Bondage Breaker, and Freedom in Christ. And I was recently contacted by someone to ask for the printed materials for The Bondage Breaker, and we do provide those if you email me at mtforchrist247@gmail.com. We love to get positive feedback about the things we do. It encourages us in our walk. So if you want to send feedback, that's the email address to send them to. And we just thank everyone for listening and supporting what we do, because we're here to support and and encourage everything that you do in your walk as a Christian. We also obviously revere the Word of God. Lately, I've been sharing things on Facebook. Now, Bible study with M.T. Clark apparently is a thing. I study the Bible every day. So what I've been doing over the last couple days is I've gotten things from things I've come across in Bible study and just share them. And what are those things? Usually, well, so far, I'll just say a sentence or two and share the scriptures. The Bible speaks for itself, and I don't need to, read the word. The word renews our mind. So I figured, I'm reading it anyway, and I'm like, hey, that's good. Let's share it. So if you're not following me on Facebook already, that's an incentive to do so, because I'm not sharing it on the blog, and I'm not sharing it anywhere else. And they're just Bible verses, but they could be an encouragement for your day. So if you want to, go to Facebook and search M.T. Clark, and maybe you'll find me. We'll see. I expect friend requests anyway. I don't. But I do expect us to grow in our faith. The more we pursue the Lord and seek to know Him and His will, the more we're transformed by the renewing of our mind and by the positive consequences that come when we apply His wisdom to our lives. So let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we just thank You for another day in Your kingdom. We just marvel over Your love for us, Lord, and how You just bring things into being in our lives when we turn towards You. And, the way You change us, the way You open our eyes to Your beauty and Your love and Your wisdom that's in Your word and in Your world. And Lord, we just thank You for being present with us as we walk, and we get to, every day we get to turn aside to You and go, thank You, God, for bringing me here. Thank You, God, for, setting the conditions in my life so I'm experiencing this moment right now. Thank You, Lord, for never leaving me and forsaking me. And Lord, thank You for all the people who, the few that listen to the podcast and encourage us in our work. Our purpose, really, is to encourage others, and we're encouraged by the people who encourage us. And we just thank You for it all, Lord. Lord, we pray for the people who are listening. We pray for You to come along beside them and their prayer requests, and we pray for You to bless them in whatever way they need. Lord, we pray for all of us today that You go before us and open our eyes to what You want us to see and to direct us in the things we should do. Lord, we just thank You for this day, this hump day, that's a Friday, because, Lord willing, if You're willing, You will deliver me safely to my wife's home in upstate New York, and we'll be sitting at our local church and getting instruction on what Christians believe from our pastor. And, I can't think of a better thing to do with my time off than to be in my beloved wife's company, and to receive spiritual teaching from a Christian source and a Christian church, surrounded by Christians. That's a Friday night for me, and it's a good one. So I'm looking forward to it, Lord. We pray for You to go before us and keep us safe and to deliver us to that tonight. And we pray for our friends who are listening, that You deliver them through the things they're going through to the good things that You have for them as well. Lord, we love You. We thank You. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.